The following program has been furnished and paid for by Auto Pros Radio Show, and KSCB is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered. Rolling up the doors, the garage is open, and here we go. The Auto Pros Radio Show. And now, here's Robert, Jody, and Lynn, the Auto Pros.
All right, welcome back to Auto Pros Radio Show. I'm Robert with Auto Tektronics, here with Mr. Jody Chester and Lynn Beckwith.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Y'all?
Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. You got some open lines. And it's 2 for 1 hour.
2 for 1 hour. There you go. I was waiting on that. And so was Mr. Gary Knight.
We talked
Ching Ching.
We talked about tires a little bit in the last hour.
We did.
And, you know, our roads can be really rough on your suspension. When you're thinking about investing a lot of money in new rubber for your vehicle, consider having it aligned. Most vehicles on Houston, Texas roads have hit something just enough, a pothole, to be just a little bit out of alignment. By doing an alignment, you protect that new rubber.
That's right. And do it when you have a new set of tires, you know, on the vehicle. Don't do it before, but do it after. It's always good to look at your tires, or you know, if you're having an alignment issue or something, take pictures of the old tires.
Yeah, because if we get to see that, that helps a lot.
Yeah, and say, hey, I've just put tires on. I've been having this issue, you know, and put it up there on the alignment machine because, you know, maybe you hit a pothole, maybe something's out of line, maybe you have some worn suspension components.
Well, and we do suspension checks out at Beckwith at no charge. Mm-hmm. We drive your vehicle. We see how it feels. We get it up in the air. You're welcome to come back and look. It's really educational to get to see underneath your car. It's, you know, it's hard to do that in a driveway these days.
Sometimes it's scary to look underneath your
car. Well, and some right? vehicles are more prone to suspension wear.
They are.
You know, we see it in a lot of different vehicles where
Dodge trucks.
Yeah. Well, a lot of Dodge trucks are really hard on the ball joints.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's for one. Ford
has
Super
ball
Duties
joint
has issues
yeah.
on their tie rods and yeah. some with the ball joints. I don't think they're as bad as they used to be.
And yeah. the track bars.
The Chevy Equinox, their control arm bushings wear. Mm-hmm. You know, Honda had issues with control arm bushings. Just many reasons to really get it in there and get that suspension.
That's a compliance bushing.
A compliance, yeah. They even put warranty extensions
on some of those.
On
they
some
did
of those back
yeah.
when, not anymore that I know of, but back when they put an 8-year, 100,000-mile warranty extension on their compliance bushings.
Yeah.
You ever put a set of those bushings in a control arm?
Man,
it's tricky.
Yeah, I think I just got a control arm.
It's
yeah,
better,
most people
but
do, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Basically, you got to take an air chisel. Yeah. To get those out of there, but they have to be lined up just right, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I bought know where to put them in.
Yeah, I bought a bushing press that does all kinds of bushings. Mm-hmm. It's air-powered and everything. It's on a roll-around. We can roll
it
up to the car.
Oh, makes it easy?
Yeah. Yeah, and none of my guys like to use it.
You know? It's easier to put a control
arm. Old school,
on.
Right?
Yeah, and I mean, it because it'll even press out a ball joint stuff. It's just sometimes getting it up there to the first one and getting it all figured out what you need takes time. Of course, the second one's quick then.
Yeah,
you know,
once you know, it's know how to mount it.
Kind of like using an on-car brake lathe.
Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing. That how many of us invested in that and we never used it?
Yeah.
I used it a lot.
On Hondas.
Yeah, well, especially on Hondas where you have a trapped rotor, but that was old Hondas.
Right.
But just even on cars that if you had a pulsation issue, you know, you would do it on the car. So supposedly it takes in, account for all the run out that's in the bearing and whatnot, you know. And so it should be the truest, you know, type thing.
Yeah. And it does put a really nice fine cut. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really good. It's an investment. And it does take a little bit to hook up to the vehicle. So, you know,
you don't have to take the rotor off.
You know, when I was working back then, we had two different shops. Mm-hmm. You know, on the same property. So you had brake lathe was always all the way across on the other side. Then I had to bring it up, wheel it up the ramp to get it into my stall and hook it up. So it wasn't always as convenient.
They had you at the back of the classroom, huh?
That's right. We were back there in the shop where we did the did the real heavy work.
The real work, yeah. Right? Well, yeah. And, you know, suspension components, they get weaker over time. And so you don't notice it as much when you're driving the car every day. Mm-hmm. But that's what keeps your rubber on the road. You know, your shocks keep the pressure to keep you safe on the road. So you want to have that all checked.
That's right. And, of course, again, as far as tires go, you know, we're getting just around the corner for spring break and summertime mm-hmm. travel season. And, you know, as the roads start to heat up, that's when you see a lot of loose rubber on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and you get tires that blow out and so forth. You don't want to be that person. You know, it's on the side of the road with a blowout. So have those tires looked at. Get them checked, you know, whether you bring them by your shop, Robert's shop, one mm-hmm. of our sponsoring shops, or, you know, your local tire store, anything that you can do. And, of course, keep the air pressure up.
Well, that will ruin a vacation.
Oh, it really,
you know, yeah. you maybe if you were driving local could have gotten a few more thousand miles out of that rubber. Mm-hmm. But when you start putting it on the road at 70, 75 miles per hour and 105 degrees, you end up with trouble.
And the most neglected tire is the spare tire.
Ah, true.
If you have one these days.
If you have one.
The spare tire, you know, many people forget about it. It's mm-hmm. stuck back there in the trunk or underneath your truck or wherever, under your RV.
It could have not have any air in it, and you may not know unless it has a tire pressure sensor.
Yeah, and a few do.
Yeah.
A few of them. I know Toyota
and a few of them run you around on that. You'd be like, hey, all the sensors are good. What's the matter?
Right.
You're forgetting about the one
in
the trunk.
The one in the spare.
But you hate to pull your spare tire out, put it on, let the jack down. It's half flat already.
Right.
That's never fun. But give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. We'll be glad to help you out with your car questions, car problems, make some recommendations if you're looking for a new car or a pre-owned car.
Yeah.
You know, getting ready for that spring break trip.
I took a spring break trip once, actually more of a summer trip, about 5,700 miles in a Nissan Xterra pulling a large Coleman pop-up camper, the big, giant pop-up camper.
Really?
And it was a blast.
She's very adventurous.
But you get right. You get into, you know, you get into the mountains, of course, the Xterra had to really strain to get that pop-up camper up the mountains. But finally, when you leave California to come back towards Texas and you're done with that silly 55 mile an hour speed limit that they have on any kind of trailer, and you start booking down the road on those little bitty tires on a pop-up camper.
You don't do that.
No. I ended up changing three tires because I was so happy to go faster.
Yeah, but the tire wasn't very happy with
no,
it.
No, the tire was not happy with me.
No, that's,
I was,
you know, we've talked about that. You know, whenever you buy a travel trailer, you know, think about
check the tires
that are on it. What's the speed rating on that?
Yeah.
You know, for, because, you know, many of them are set for 55, 60 miles an hour, and everybody likes to run 70 and 80.
Yeah.
Those tires, once they heat up, they're not going to last
long. Yeah, that 13-inch rim is spinning fast.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about tires and tire balance, I mean, a lot of times, you know, there's a lot to know about balancing tires. It's not just you put it on the machine, you knock on the weight, because, you know, I'll have tires come in that on one side of the rim, there's 3 ounces.
Yeah.
And then exactly opposite side of the rim, there's 2 ounces.
And you'd think there should only be one.
One. I'm like, okay, guys, what's wrong with this picture? You know, because when I balance a tire, if it's asking me for weight and it's on the opposite side again,
right.
Well, then I'm pulling the other weight back off and I spin it again.
See what happens.
To find out what happens, you know. Because sometimes when you add weight to the outside, it changes that inside some. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I try and put it a little, you know, spin it until I put as little weight as possible.
That's the way I was taught when I started balancing wheels. One of the guys, Gerald Ferris, taught me that it only requires one weight on each side.
All right.
And that's
it. In the right place.
That's
it. Just in the right place.
And don't knock another quarter on there just to make it balance out. So, you know, I even said, like Robert was saying, spin it.
Spin it again.
And get that weight on the inside. Spin it again.
Yeah.
And put it on the outside. You know, and then eliminate. Make sure you get the smallest amount of weight, you know, possible.
Right. And you just bought a new Road Force.
Yeah, that's when I was fixing to say we're talking about balance, and then you bring Road Force into the whole equation. That's a whole nother deal.
Well,
it can balance perfect.
Yeah.
But if it has high Road Force, it's going to bounce.
Well,
you're going to feel it.
The vehicles are so much stiffer. Many of the vehicles, especially the pickup trucks, and that Road Force balance. I know we find that out at Beckwith all the time that we can really correct a lot of the vibration issues.
Yeah, vibration issues, death wobble issues. If you got front tires with high Road Force.
Yeah.
You know, I've had trucks where you think, man, I've replaced everything on it. And, you know, you check the tires. Oh, my God, this one's way out. You know.
So, right. If you never experienced a death wobble, I'm happy for you, because that is not a fun experience.
No, it does. It can scare you sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've felt it in a lot of cars, you know, trucks. And there's one truck I remember getting in, and the guy was complaining about it. I was like, yeah, you know, I got to go drive it. And, man, I hit this little bump, and I mean, it, like, grabbed my attention in a hurry. You know, I was like, holy cow.
Hold on to the steering wheel.
We got to fix it. It's dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it really is.
It surprises you.
Yeah, but a lot of folks don't think about, you know, wheel balance being an issue like that. Right. But you can, like you said, you can have them balance out. But if you put it on that Road Force machine, and a lot of them, a lot of the tire stores, they have those machines, but they don't use them on a regular basis.
Because it takes more time.
You know, because it does take a little more time. But, you know, if you have a heavy spot in the rubber, you know, and you run it on the Road Force machine, and it will even tell you, break the tire down, turn it 180, you know, rotate it, and then remount it, and you offset the difference of the heavy spot of the wheel versus the tire, and it makes a really, really great balance.
Yeah. All right, let's run out and talk to Brad and Walter. Brad, you're on Auto Pros Radio.
Yes, sir. I've got a Volvo XC90, and my wife hit a deer the other day, and now the check engine light is on, a P-0101 and a P-0172.
So you got a mass airflow sensor code, and then you got a fuel issue there, too. Where did she hit it? What part of the vehicle got damaged?
It's right, kind of lower right.
Yeah, you'll need to look as far as where your air intake goes to the engines. That got a 2-liter in it?
I don't know what it is.
But because if she hit the deer and it made any kind of damage there, it's probably did something to the mass airflow sensor. Or it disrupted, it blocked something off or cracked something to where it's not, all the air is not running through the mass air like it's supposed to. Because the 101 is for a mass air issue, and the 172, you said?
Yes.
That's a rich exhaust indication, which means
both. So, it's not getting enough air.
Well, it's not registering the air like it's supposed to, and it's dumping too much fuel.
Trying to compensate.
Trying to compensate, and when it shouldn't be.
I've noticed that it shifts a little bit harder.
Oh, yeah, it's going to, because that mass air also what it uses for load calculation. Mm-hmm. So if it thinks there's more load on the motor, see, it all goes together. See, it's thinking there's more load on the motor, so it's shifting harder, dumping more fuel, and it ain't jiving, and that's why you're getting that code.
Okay. Well, it'll probably be a couple of days before I can get it over there and get it fixed. So, will it hurt to drive it a day or two?
A day or two shouldn't, as long as the check engine light's not flashing or anything. If there's the car, other than that, it feels like it runs normal.
Yes.
I mean, it should be okay for a couple of days, you know. Yeah. If the check engine light starts flashing or there's a big noticeable drop-off in performance or something, well, then you need to get it taken care of as soon as possible.
Yeah, if it's dumping a lot of fuel, you don't want to hurt that catalytic converter.
Yes. Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
Have a good day. Yeah, I think they're going to find something cracked.
Yeah.
You know, from the uninsured motorist she hit right there.
Right. I hadn't thought of it that way, uninsured motorist.
Yeah, my wife came up with that. I'll have to give her the credit. But
good job.
She hit an uninsured motorist one time. She wasn't happy.
I like that.
All right, we're going to back out here and take a short break. You're listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KSAB The Voice. Give us a call, 281-558-5738. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us this weekend on the Auto Pros Radio Show. Online, you can find us everywhere on Facebook at Auto Pros Radio. All of our shows, in case you missed one, and links to Auto Pros approved repair shops all over town, you can find it at autoprosradio.com. Shops you can trust are just a click away. You can always email us, info@autoprosradio.com, and be sure to tell your friends to tune in Saturday mornings, 10 to noon.
BG Products, the number one name in preventative maintenance. Carbon buildup in your engine will reduce your fuel economy, cause engine hesitation, rough idle, and excessive oil consumption. BG Products has you covered for all your fluid maintenance services and fuel system cleaning needs. They are so confident in the quality of their product, they back it up with a lifetime protection plan. All of our Auto Pros preferred service centers offer the BG services because they work. Find a list of preferred service centers at autoprosradio.com or go to bgfindashop.com to find a BG service center near you. That's BG Products, the number one name in preventative maintenance.
Auto Tektronix, your one-stop automotive service center. A family-owned and operated repair shop that has been in business for 40 years, serving the Katy, Texas, and surrounding areas, providing all types of mechanical and electrical automotive repair work for both import and domestic models with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Auto Tektronix also performs all the factory scheduled maintenance for your vehicle. Robert Gruner and his staff of technicians pride themselves on taking care of their customers and doing repairs right the first time. Located at 5330 East 5th Street in Old Katy, give them a call, 281-391-7617, and schedule an appointment today. That's 281-391-7617, Auto Tektronix in Katy.
Is your transmission slipping, jerking, or making funny noises? Well, let me recommend the great folks at Gary's Transmission Service. Whether you have a classic car or a late model vehicle, Gary's will diagnose your problem and let you know if it's a transmission problem or something else that makes it feel like a transmission problem. The experts at Gary's Transmissions are trained in today's most complex transmissions for both foreign and domestic. All transmission rebuilds come with a local 2-year, 24,000-mile parts and labor warranty, including annual preventive maintenance service at no charge during the warranty period. Quality transmission repairs done right. 281-347-8888. Gary's Transmission Service.
You don't have to look too far to find an honest, skilled, and friendly auto service center in your area. It's really simple. Just visit autoprosradio.com. All of the Auto Pros Radio's preferred service centers boast decades of experience and are dedicated to hiring, training, and keeping the most skilled automotive professionals in the industry and have a reputation for outstanding customer service. No matter where you are, go to autoprosradio.com to find a great automotive shop near you. Or check us out on Facebook at Auto Pros Radio. All right, welcome back to Auto Pros Radio Show. I'm Robert with Auto Tektronix here with Mr. Jody Chesser and Lynn Beckwith.
Yes, good morning. I have no idea what song that was.
Yeah, I didn't either.
New one to me.
Yeah, I bet Tom picked that song. Tom out of League City, you're on with the Auto Pros. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm out here changing my starter on my Volkswagen.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just going to this because I've tried everything else, but I figured I'd call the experts. When I try to turn it on with the key, of course, fuel pump fires up and lights on the dashboard come on. And I have the clutch fully depressed, and I turn the key to the start position, and there's nothing. There's not a click. There's not a draw, anything.
Mm-hmm.
What? I've checked the relay. I unplugged the clutch safety switch and checked it and replugged it back in. Mm-hmm. And before I just really go crazy on this starter, I'm wondering if y'all have any other ideas.
What's the year, make, model of this?
This is an 03 Turbo S, which has the 6-speed manual. So I actually had to get a special starter for it that goes on the Audi TTs and the VW GTIs with the 6-speed as well.
But it's a Volkswagen. Is it a Beetle?
Yes, a 1.8 Turbo.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe that because of the 6-speed transmission, we've got a special starter. But that's what they tell me.
Now, on that one, Tom, did when you were down there with the clutch switch, okay, usually there's some type of little grommet, little nylon or rubber grommet on the clutch pedal that presses against the clutch switch, you know, the little pin right there. And a lot of times those grommets, they'll start to wear out and they'll fall out. And you won't have a grommet inside the hole that's in the clutch pedal itself, so it's never actually depressing that switch.
Are you talking about like the brake switch that also handles the cruise control as soon as you touch the brake pedal?
Well, I'm talking about on the clutch itself. On the clutch.
Yeah, but I mean, same
difference.
Assembly?
Yes, sir. Same difference. Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of times those little grommets, you'd find a little piece of something on the floorboard and wonder what it is, but then it won't start. So you get on there with a flashlight and look around and see if you see the pin of that switch, you know, where it's sticking out. And when you push the clutch pedal down, it's not depressing the switch. Then you could use your finger, press the switch in, you know, and make sure it's in neutral, of course, and know the vehicle starts. And then you'll have to get a new grommet or get creative with a little bolt and nut, if you will.
Yeah,
done that before. It lasts forever, and but it gets you going.
Well, I had that on my cruise control switch on a Toyota one time, automatic transmission, and I super glued a penny to the arm of the pedal.
There you go.
To increase the clearance or distance, however you want to say it.
Yeah, anything that would depress the switch for your brake lights, or in your case, the clutch safety switch on this one, that may be your problem. Again, it could be the starter itself, but the only true way that you'll really know is if you have a test light. It's pretty simple. You know, just hook your test light to negative and then go down there to the battery itself on the positive cable where it attaches to the starter, if you can get to it. And don't put it on the cable itself, but just put it on the stud where it bolts to that starter, and have somebody depress the clutch and try to turn it over and make sure that the test light stays lit up, because if it should have power, of course, with 12 volts, but whenever you start it, it should stay lit up. If it goes away, then that would mean that you're losing something between contact between your battery and your starter.
So, Tom, you can get to your starter relay.
Yeah, it's hard, but I can get there.
I mean, so if you pull that relay out and, you know, make sure it's in neutral, if you jump power straight to that terminal that goes down to the starter, does it crank?
The 86 and the 87? 10?
Yeah. Well, it's, 86. Well, it's going to be 31 and 87.
Okay.
And so the 87 are on this one. It's actually pin 8. You know, when I'm looking at a diagram, it's pin 8 that goes down to the starter. But usually when you look at your relay, you're going to have two smaller terminals, two bigger terminals.
Yes.
So it's going to be one of the bigger terminals.
Okay.
So if you just if you just take power and go to try one or try the other, because if you try the wrong one, it's just going to go back to the side that's supposed to have power, so nothing's going to happen to it. But then try the opposite side, should go down to the starter and see, does it crank? Make sure it's in neutral.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah, and see if it cranks. If it cranks, well then you know the starter's good, and you got something else. You got to go backwards from there.
Because it died on me when I went to Kroger's one day, and I backed it out of the hole, and luckily there was about a 3% grade on the parking lot, and I got a guy to help me start pushing it, and
popped a clutch,
you know, fired it off, and I got home with it, and now it won't do nothing. But what you were talking about, the test light on the battery. So when I'm going to be in the car. I'm going to depress or someone else will be in the car, depress the clutch switch, hit the ignition to the start, and the light should come on then, or the light should go off then.
No, it should stay lit up all the time because it's straight. It's your positive cable coming off the battery. So it's always 12 volts at the starter. Okay, so once you touch it with your test light before you do anything, it's gonna be lit up. You're gonna have power, but you don't want to lose the power when you try to start it, because that would indicate an interruption between your battery and your starter through the cable somewhere.
Whether the relay or the clutch switch or the whatever.
Yeah, well, that's gonna be on the other side. The smaller terminal is like for your neutral safety or clutch switch or something like that. You're just trying to verify. You're just trying to verify that you have good connection from your battery down there, you know, if you get to that point. But I would, you know, you can always do the old tap test on the starter. You know,
I've done that. I've been underneath, she's turning the key, and I'm banging on the starter.
Yeah, so I would start with the clutch switch down there and look for that grommet and see if that may be your problem, you know, if it's missing one. Or you can try to push that clutch switch in by hand. If you need to, and see if it starts and make sure there's not an issue with a gap or something like that. And then go to that relay and try to jump it like Robert was saying.
Okay.
So sound like you got a full afternoon.
Well, yeah, I planned on it only being about 3 hours, clean up and everything.
Yeah.
It's going to be a pretty day for it, though.
Well, yeah, thankfully so. And you know, now, hey, y'all talked about that car show at Spring.
Yes, right, sir.
What's I look for Longhorn Auto Show.
The Longhorn Rod Run.
Yeah.
Rod Run. Okay. With that, I got a bunch of fishing rods.
Yeah. I've got a link on our Facebook page for you too, Tom.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna try that as soon as I get cleaned up, I guess.
There you go. Well, let's know how you come out, Tom.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Y'all take care.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Where are we running?
All right, let's run out and welcome Juan to the Auto Pros Radio Show. Good morning, Juan.
Hey, good morning. I have a quick question.
Sure.
We're planning to get a Volkswagen Atlas. It's either a 2.0 or 3.6 engine. Which one would you recommend?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for, you know, as far as if you're looking for something with more fuel economy or if you're looking for, you know, more performance, you know, your larger engine or the 3.6 is going to be, you know, a little more peppy for you and things like that. But, you know, overall, I think they're really both good engines.
Well, and sometimes they surprise you that you don't get that much more horsepower out of it, depending on how that that 2 liter is set up. If it's turbocharged.
It is turbo.
Yeah.
You know, it may you may get almost as much power out of it. I'm trying to find it real quick to see if it'll give us a little bit of data on what the actual horsepower and fuel economy ratings are.
Are you going to be using it more like around town or more on the highway?
No, more around town. Go to work, go to school.
Yeah. I mean, a 2 liter would probably be a better deal.
Yeah,
as
the
far
2 liter turbocharged, I would just recommend that you start using the BG44K Platinum fuel additive.
Okay.
Because it's going to help keep the fuel system clean. And then do your oil changes with the motor oil additive, because both of those are going to work hand in hand with that turbo, because the turbo is going to have engine oil that's fed through it, you know, for lubrication. So you always want to make sure, especially with a turbo model, that you keep the oil changed regularly, at least every 5,000 miles, and using the BGMOA is going to be the way to go.
And you still get 270 horsepower out of that 2 liter. That's, you know, for that little vehicle, you should have plenty of oomph.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Juan.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your call.
Yeah, and on that 2 liter, you have fewer timing chains and fewer.
fewer everything.
Yeah. All right, Scott, talk to Ed. Ed, you're on Auto Pros Radio.
Hi. I've got a Grand Marquis 2001 Mercury.
Yes, sir.
4.6. I cannot get a definitive answer as to how to line up the timing chains on that motor. I have the book, the Ford Workshop book, and it's got four or five different examples.
Yeah, they can be tricky sometimes when you go to line those things up, I guarantee you. So you got it all apart now?
Yes.
Got new parts and ready to go back and just trying to find a diagram. Let's go see if we have a diagram.
Do you know which which 4.6 that is? Is it the W motor or the 9?
Yeah, it's a W.
Okay. I was just looking to see because I don't remember that being that hard to figure out. I mean,
I was trying to see if we had a diagram on that we could.
Ford's diagrams are disconcerting. They show the two dots on the, say, the left on the camshaft facing the motor, so it'll be on my left. And they say that's supposed, you line those two dots up perpendicular to the valve cover.
The picture I'm seeing, basically you have two chains, correct?
Yes.
And then you have a dot. You have a dot on each cam gear. And then
mine has two.
Well, it's two, one on top of each other.
Right.
Okay. And then, you know, on your chain, you should have a colored link that goes where that dot is.
Okay.
And then you have another colored link that goes down where the crank is.
All right.
And
the crank's at the bottom, right?
Correct.
Right.
And the dot
is straight down, sets the clock position.
Right. That's what it looks like on the crank gear. The dots on the two cams, as you're looking at it, one's at like 11 o'clock, one's at like 1 o'clock, basically.
Right.
Do they
ever get together?
No.
Okay, so one, they're actually going to be apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not like a V8 or something.
No. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's strictly based off, and what you want to do is, you know, I don't know if this tells how many links are between, But you'll need to see to where the colored link that goes on the cam and then the one that goes down on the crank, usually there's a certain number of links between it so you get the right side. But when you put it on, you want to put it on to where you like put it on the cam and then you work your way down the side with no tensioner to where you line that dot up on the bottom, and then all the slack will be on the tensioner side.
All right.
So you don't see, because you don't want to leave a bunch of slack on one side that ain't going to be taken up by the tensioner, and then it won't actually be where it's supposed to be, you know.
How, okay, now here's something fun. Mm-hmm. Being this, one of these dots is at 11 and one is at 1 o'clock, how do I know where I am?
What do you mean?
How do I know to get this thing in time mm-hmm. to where... Do I use a clock reference or something like that
right.
to say 11 o'clock or 1 o'clock?
Yeah, I mean, when you've got the picture in the Ford manual, how it shows that, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
So when you look at it, you notice those two dots on the cam gear, they're not standing straight up and down like at 12 o'clock.
Right.
One of them's kind of off to the side at 1 o'clock, and one's off the opposite way to 11 o'clock.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's, you got to kind of position them there. And then, like, see if your colored link goes there, and then run it down to the crank. You know, it should all. I mean, when it's like this, where there's just dots and colored links, I mean, it's pretty foolproof.
Usually. And kind of halfway between those two dots ought to be straight up and down.
What do you mean?
Well, if you've got an 11 o'clock and a 1 o'clock dot, if you kind of hit the space in between, that should be your straight up and down.
Well, no. You'd have to look at the picture.
Yeah.
It's like this. The two gears set like this.
Okay.
And you have two gears like this. So they never come anywhere close to each other. When you're looking at the picture, if you just set them the way the picture is and set your crank the way the picture is, you should be able to take that chain, put that one plated link on the cam, and then it should run down, and another plated link should line up on the crank like it's supposed to.
When you're looking at this picture that I'm mm-hmm. looking at, mm-hmm. they have a line coming off of one of the dots running alongside the chain
mm-hmm.
that's in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually look at, but if we're going to say this picture is correct, I can run through the dots and run a straight edge down through the dots and make them come out to the crank.
Yeah, I mean, don't overcomplicate this.
Did this
set them like it shows, and take your plated link and put on it, and go down and put the other plated link, and if it lines up,
yeah. Did you jump time or anything, or are you just doing this?
No, it was just rattling like crazy, and I come to find out I have a bad tensioner.
Okay, yeah. So when you have the timing cover and everything off, you got everything at top dead center.
Yes.
Okay. So when you go to take the chains off, so you make sure that your crank gear, the dot is pointed straight down and sits the clock, and then
okay.
and then make a reference on each cam phaser where those dots are. Okay. And,
all right.
And then make your own marks. Okay. Get a tooth on the gear and mark somewhere on the engine where you know those two sprockets are when you get ready to remove the timing chain. And that way, when you put the new chain on, you can use the colored links. They say copper links, but they're usually copper color or purple or something like that. Okay, but at least you know that you've made your own timing marks, if you will, just to know that you don't move something when you put it back together. And then once you do that, you release the tensioner, turn that engine by hand,
mm-hmm.
360 degrees, okay, and then make sure all those dots line back up in the same position where you started from.
So I'm on the same page with you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the link on the crank and the link on the camshaft. They should be on top of the dots, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So that would make me in time no matter where I am.
As long as you don't have a bunch of slack in that chain. I mean, that's why I say you start and you pull down the side with no tensioner and then go on to the cam, on to the crank.
Yeah.
And
the outside of the chain toward the camshaft or toward the center of the block is going to be tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all my slack is going to be on the inside.
To
on the
tensioner.
Outside.
Wherever your tensioner is, right. That's where you want your slack to be.
And then that way you have everything marked. So when you do rotate it 360 degrees and you come back to top dead center, okay, then you're just making sure that everything stayed in a line for your top dead center and that you didn't have slack somewhere, and then now it's off a little bit because then you're going to have to readjust.
Right. Now, if I rotate this thing, will it come back to in one rotation, or does it have to go more than one rotation?
Well, we're going to go two full turns to get everything, because the cams rotate at half the crank speed.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Two full turns. Now, your plated links are not going to come back up on the dots.
No.
You're just going to look to see that the dots, like the crank gear, is where it's supposed to be. And if you look at those lines that are drawn through those cam gears, they're showing you like where the keyway is on the cam gear. If you look at it, that's the keyway they're drawn through.
So
when it comes back around, you just want to make sure those dots are kind of back where they were, the 11 and 1 or whatever they're at. Mm-hmm. And that your keyways are down there at the bottom, like at one's at like 4:30 and one's at like 6:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then just make sure your keyway is where it's supposed to be down on the crank.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's why it's important to make your own reference marks. Mm-hmm. Okay, that way you know when it comes back around, this tooth lined up. And I always use like liquid paper, you know, and we would paint it somewhere on the block or the valve cover or whatever we're working on. And then that way, those were your own reference marks. So it was a little easier by eye to look at, because sometimes it's a little tough to see.
Right.
And I think you'd be fine.
All right. I'll let you know.
All right. Let us know,
Dad,
how it comes out.
Good luck to you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to back out here and take a short break. You're listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KSE The Voice. Get in on our last segment here and get your questions answered. We'll see you back in a few minutes.
Are you needing to have your vehicle's scheduled maintenance performed or mechanical repairs done? Don't wait. Go to autoprosradio.com, see all of our recommended preferred service centers in your area, and give them a call today to schedule an appointment to have your vehicle serviced and have that peace of mind your vehicle will be safe. And remember to tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV.
David's Auto Central in Stafford has been performing quality automotive service and preventive maintenance for over 35 years. Their technicians are ASC certified and trained to handle all your automotive needs, from air conditioning, brakes, electrical repairs, diagnostic service, engine repairs, and much more. Let the fine folks at David's Auto Central take care of your automotive needs. Located at 2526 Fifth Street in Stafford. That's 281-499-9684. That's 281-499-9684. David's Auto Central.
Green and White Automotive has been servicing Spring and surrounding areas since 1977. Their ASC certified technicians will diagnose and repair both import and domestic vehicles and back those repairs with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Now that is peace of mind. Do you have a diesel truck? No problem. Green and White Automotive is your local diesel expert. They understand your time is valuable and will get you back on the road in a timely manner. And they also have a free shuttle service to work or home. Automotive repair and maintenance service, all at a fair price. Give them a call today, 281-353-7682. That's Green and White Automotive, 281-353-7682.
Beckwith Car Care has been servicing the Humboldt, Atascocita, and surrounding areas for more than 35 years. You don't stay in business that long without providing great customer service and repairs done right the first time. Beckwith has factory-trained technicians that know how to diagnose and repair your vehicle. They provide a nationwide 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service to work, home, or play. They also can arrange to pick up your vehicle if needed. Visit Beckwith.com and schedule an online appointment today to have your vehicle repaired or maintenance services performed. Give them a call, 281-540-2000. That's 281-540-2000. Beckwith Car Care.
All right, welcome back to Auto Pros Radio. I'm Robert with Auto Tektronics. Here with Mr. Jody Chetzer and Lynn Beckwith.
That's right. Running on empty.
Last segment.
Time to get in. 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Still two for one.
Yeah.
Let's go out and talk to Mark. Thanks for holding, Mark. Welcome to the Auto Pros Radio Show.
Well, thank you very much. Hope you're having a great morning, the few minutes that are remaining.
Yes, sir.
I came in late, and it sounded like I had come into a Connect the Dots game show.
Yeah, we were having fun.
Okay. My significant other, she'll go by the name of S.O., is looking at Mazda CX-5 and CX-30. She likes kind of both of them. The CX-30 does not have HomeLink mirror. And my question to you is, do you know if it's possible to order a CX-5 mirror that does have HomeLink and install it and not ruin any kind of warranty?
You should be able to. I remember when I purchased my 2014 Hyundai Sonata, it didn't have the HomeLink on the mirror. And I asked them about that, and yes, they could buy the mirror and program it to the vehicle for me. It's about $300, but it was able to do it because normally those have the capability and the modules and so forth. They just have to be turned on if they didn't come from the factory like that.
Oh, so that's what the programming is. It's not in the mirror itself.
Well, the mirror is just for you to program the switches and so forth, but, you know, there's actual control modules, you know, for that system. And normally they'll have to go in there with a scan tool and either do some kind of flash, or they'll have to go into, like, your body control module and turn that feature on. In general, that's the way it works.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would definitely ask, because nowadays a lot of that stuff ain't there because there ain't no chips.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my point as well.
Yeah.
You want to check with Mazda, you know, before you do that, because the HomeLink, it's really a nice feature to have.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
You know, if you've got garage door openers, electric gates, whatever, you know, it's really nice than having the little push button hanging on your sun visor or something.
Well, the dealership says no. One of the parts guys said yes, and then a different parts guy there said no. There are, there's a lot on the internet about it.
Uh-huh.
Some are saying yes, you can do it. Others are saying it's difficult.
What dealership are you talking with?
It's the Mazda dealership in Clear Lake. Clear Lake Mazda.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know anybody down there. I would. You may want to give Jeff Haas Mazda a call.
Okay. Are they the ones that kind of pull the parts for all the rest of the Mazda dealership?
I think they're one of the big hubs. Yes.
Okay, and that's Jeff Haas.
Jeff Haas Mazda in service. Talk to a young lady named Yahira.
Oh, boy. I need help with that one.
I do, too. It starts with a Y. I don't even really know how to spell her name. She's a really sweet girl. It's Yahira. Just however you think it sounds, you can spell it out so you'll remember Yahira. And when you talk to her, let her know what you're looking at. And she's been with Jeff Haas for many years. And if she doesn't know, I guarantee she can find out for you.
Okay. Well, that has been well worth more than I paid for this call. Thank you very, very
That's
much.
That's real. We'll send you the bill in the mail.
Right.
Yeah, I'm at 1600
Pennsylvania Avenue, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hey, let us know.
Yeah, let us know how it comes out.
I always like to be curious. I think either one of the two models she'll be really happy with. I think Mazda brings a good product to the market, and I know many people like those vehicles.
They're fun.
I have friends that own them, and they've really been happy with them. So,
is there one over the other that they seem to favor, the 5 over the 30 or the 30 over the 5?
You know, it's kind of personal preference, really. You know, as far as size and, you know, different features and so forth. Or, you know, if you can't get the HomeLink and you want the HomeLink, you might have to go with the CX-30.
Well, actually, it's the 30 I think she likes the better.
Uh-huh.
Especially because if it doesn't still have 0% financing.
Well, yeah.
It's the 5 that has the link, and so we'd have to get a 5 mirror for it and see if we can get it installed in the 30. But I'll go ahead and give Yahira a call, and I really appreciate that loading and pointing.
Sure, absolutely. I hope that helps.
Take care.
All right, sir. Have a good day.
Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
I'd be surprised if the CX-30 didn't come
offer
with the
option,
you know, at least for the HomeLink. So maybe it was an option and not on there. Like you said, with the chip shortage, like we've talked about with Marcus Warren from Ford about, you know, when you purchase a new Lariat or King Ranch, you can't get massaging seats. You can't get the heated steering wheel because they just eliminate those functions.
Man, I know.
You know, so that could be a possibility, but I think it'll probably work out. But yeah, Hira, like I said, she's been with Jeff Haas for a long time, and she can find out the correct answer for him.
I was looking at, you know, the lady called about the Equinox and the starter and stop start and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking up a starter for it and looking at the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's got a big old solenoid on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's what they're made for.
Yeah, I know it. And I mean, because, you know, I was reading that description about having extra force or whatever it was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see, I mean, the solenoid is really big on that thing. So, all right, let's go out and talk to Nick on a 95 Honda Accord. Nick, you're on Auto Pros Radio.
Yes, hello. I had a starter problem. This Honda 95 Honda Accord,
it
was starting up fine and went to crank it one day, and it was making a loud whining noise. You know, like the starter wasn't engaging or something. Well, I put a brand new starter on it, and it's doing the same thing. I just cranked it up. It's doing the same thing.
And the motor's not turning?
You know, I'm working by myself. I don't.
So the motor's not spinning, you don't think?
I don't think so.
What size engine does this one have?
It's a little 2.2 liter.
But yeah, so you put a new starter on it. Okay, well, let me ask you this. If you take the starter back off, can you look in at the flywheel?
Yes, I can. You see it real good.
Okay, did you notice, are the teeth in good shape?
What the part I could see,
okay,
they did look to be in good shape.
Okay. Well, if it's, say, let's say it's a flywheel that's missing some teeth or something, and that's why you're just hearing it sing, take and, you know, turn the motor a little bit. Turn the motor like, you know, a quarter turn by hand, and then go hit the starter and see does it crank. So, in other words, if you do have bad teeth sitting right there, move them out of the way and get some fresh, you know, some better teeth there and see if it grabs and cranks it.
Oh, I see. Okay, just turn the
engine. Yeah.
Turn the crank by hand.
Yeah, yeah, put your wrench down there. Don't worry about that bolt coming loose. They never come loose.
No.
Oh, yeah, on that harmonic balancer.
Yeah, yeah, they're like impossible to get loose.
Yeah, because some of those Hondas, they did have issues, and it all goes back to the starter itself.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, you would hear some type of, you know, high-pitched grinding type noise when you go to start it, and that's because it's damaged some teeth on the ring gear of the flywheel, and you end up having to replace the flywheel and the starter in that case.
Oh, boy, yeah.
The only other
brand.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I just said it's a brand new Pure Energy starter. It wasn't a reman starter. It's a brand new one.
Yep.
Well,
sometimes that don't mean nothing.
You know, if you had that issue and it wasn't starting, and now you put the new starter on,
if
those teeth are chipped off, you know, then you're in that bad spot. And it's only going to be, you know, probably 3, 4, 5 teeth, you know, that may be damaged. It shouldn't be the entire ring gear of the flywheel. But you'll be able, once you get the starter back out, you know, take a look at your little inspection mirror or something if you need to. And if you see that, then just rotate, like Robert said, bolt your starter up, verify everything starts and everything's good, and then you don't want to damage the new starter. You're going to end up having to put a flywheel in.
Okay. Yeah, it did it once before, and then the next time I cranked it, it cranked up fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes you'll get a flywheel where it'll have bad teeth, and it'll do it. And then the second time you hit it, you know, when you do it that first time, it kind of bumps it just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you hit it the next time, it grabs that next tooth and goes. Yeah, it doesn't take much. That's why I say if you have any doubt, just take and move the engine. Just turn the engine a little bit, and then go hit the key and see if it cranks.
All right. Well, I'll do that. Yeah, that's good advice. I didn't all right. Yeah. Is that flywheel pretty tough to replace on that one? I'm sure it is.
Well, once you get the transmission out, it's nothing.
It's that transmission, right?
Well, yeah, that's the problem you run into. And then a lot of those, and I could look, but a lot of those things, the ring gear itself was made onto the torque converter.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Just did one yesterday, and that talked about that, but I don't think this one is set up that way.
Well, it's a lot easier on a lift than it is in a driveway.
Oh, man, yeah. Especially doing a front-wheel drive. Woo.
What side of town are you on?
I'm on West TC Jester between 34th Street and the 610 Loop.
What do you think the closest place is, Robert?
Man, I don't know.
Probably
Green and White.
Green and White or something. But.
Yeah, either Green and White on the north or Robert's Auto Tektronix on the west.
Or you got David's Auto Central down south, whichever way you are.
Downtown?
Down south.
Southwest.
South,
oh,
like, yeah, like Sugar Land. Yeah, Sugar Land, Stafford area.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks
all
like.
All right, well, yeah, that sort of sounds like what it is, unfortunately.
Well, try it and see. I mean, like I say, try what we were talking about and see. The flywheel is not part of the torque converter on this one.
Look, yeah. It's separate. The ring gear, yeah. That's the good part. I did one claim on one yesterday that it was part of the torque converter itself.
Really?
So it's just more expensive. Same amount of labor, basically. Just a little more expensive for the part. So, but take a look at it, and it's going to answer your question when you get in there. Look at those teeth.
Okay, so just turn the engine by hand and then try to crank it again.
Right, and see if it hits.
And you can do that while the starter's on right now.
Yeah, you don't have to do nothing.
Just to see, and if it starts up, then, you know, pretty much you got it. And then if you want to inspect the flywheel, mark it with a grease pencil or liquid paper or something, then hand rotate the engine until you find your bad spot.
Okie doke. Well, I'll do that then.
All right, Nick.
Let us know what happens.
Okay. All right, I'll do it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right, let's run out and grab Andrew. Andrew, you're on Auto Pros Radio.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Got a question. I was looking at a new vehicle. I was looking at the Toyota, the Grand Highlander.
Yes, sir.
And I was kind of deciding in between the hybrid engine or just the regular Turbo 4, the 8-speed. And I was just kind of wondering about, you know, the difference between, like, the 8-speed and the hybrid. I mean, is that going to give me long life, like 150,000-plus miles with the CVT?
Well, the Toyota hybrid system's pretty bulletproof. I mean, when it comes to a hybrid system, Toyota wrote the book.
Yeah, they really do.
Is it a plug-in or a...
No, it's got a motor.
Yeah.
You got a motor and stuff, so...
Yeah, because they have the Max combined the hybrid system with a 6-speed transmission.
Right.
I was just asking about the regular, you know, hybrid version.
I mean, if you're trying to get the most mileage and stuff, I mean, I wouldn't be afraid of the hybrid at all. Not on a Toyota. Yeah.
Okay.
I see very few problems with those.
Yeah, you're going to get the fuel economy. The 8-speed transmission is going to pair nicely.
Yeah. I compared the fuel economy and the hybrid fuel economy. It's pretty appealing.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. So,
that, not long-term reliability.
That's a nice-looking Highlander, that first year for it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's all you need to know, sir.
Well, very good. I hope it works out. Let us know what your choice was and how you enjoy it.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, Andrew. All right, thanks for the call.
All right. Coming to the end of another show.
That's it. Another one in the can, as
they
say.
Right. Jody, thanks for being here. Lynn, thanks for being here.
Happy Absolutely. To be here.
Thanks to everybody that listens to Auto Pro Radio and trying to go out and show our sponsors some love. They help keep us on the air here. So you've been listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KCB The Voice. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show. Hey, if you need help during the week, go to our website, autoprosradio.com. Or if you need your car serviced, see all of our recommended preferred service centers in your area. Check out our Facebook page at autoprosradio.com for the latest posts on what's going on in the automotive industry. Share a comment with us and tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.